emphasize the tremendous contribution to the historical record provided through the Cairo Geniza, I want to share the story of one of the most dramatic halachic conflicts ever to take place within the history of Klal Yisrael, a sequence of events that was then entirely forgotten from our collective consciousness. If not for the Cairo Geniza, we would not know about the controversy that cut to the core of halachic practice and threatened the very fabric of Jewish unity. This disagreement between the halachic leadership of two Torah centers involved the most important anchor of Yiddish life, our Jewish calendar. Our calendar is our framework, setting the timetable for Rosh Chodeshim and subsequent holidays, the Yom Tovim, and these occasions align all Jews together in upholding the commandments of these days, Bechol Makom Shehem, wherever they find themselves in this world. For historical background, authority for Kiddush HaChodesh was always in the hands of the Sanhedrin and its leader. Once the timing for Rosh Chodesh was ascertained in Eretz Yisrael, this information was sent in various forms to communities abroad. In one instance related by the Gemara, when Rabbi Yehoshua questioned Rabban Gamliel's decision regarding Rosh Chodesh, Rabban Gamliel responded harshly and dramatically, and his contemporaries advised Rabbi Yehoshua to submit to Rabban Gamliel's decision because the recognition of authority of Sanhedrin and its leader and the recognition of the cohesive quality achieved through our Jewish dates and times are, in fact, what ensure our existence as a unified people. From the time of Matan Torah, from that moment when Hashem commanded Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Jewish months were sanctified with each lunar cycle, with Edei Re'iyah, witnesses, that came to attest to their sighting of the new moon's appearance. Only those Dayanim that were vested and taught from one Dayan to another all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu had the authority to sanctify Rosh Chodesh. But we also have safeguarded a tradition that dates back to approximately the year 4119, or 359, when a decisive change happened. Hillel HaSheni, last of the Nesiim and a direct descendant of the line of Nesiim that began with Hillel HaZaken, lived in Eretz Yisrael at around the time that Abaya and Rava lived in Bavel. And around this time, Christianity was recognized by the Emperor Constantine, who enabled its hegemony over the Roman Empire that ruled Eretz Yisrael then. This development led to persecutions against the Jews and to the weakening of many of the yeshivos in Eretz Yisrael, and Jews migrated outward in large numbers, thereby damaging the status of Jewish leadership in Eretz Yisrael. Hillel, one of the remaining representatives of Nesias descended from Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, watched this destruction of the Jewish settlement in Eretz Yisrael and saw that it was basically barren of Talmidei Chachamim. He realized he was on the cusp of a process that would soon be eradicated. He put a stop to Kiddush HaChodesh dependent on lunar sightings, and he established a calendar built on forward-thinking computations to allow for a system that would stand the test of time for all generations to come. The system calculated when the molad, loosely interpreted as the birth of the new moon, would appear each month, stating rules for the occasions when Rosh Chodesh would have to be deferred an additional day to accommodate the cycle, and including rules governing which months could be full, meaning 30 days long, and which would be chaser, or missing, with only 29 days. This was a brave but also sad action on Hillel's part. Sad because it marked the decline of the Sanhedrin and its descent into Galus. But brave because it gave all future generations the ability to calculate Rosh Chodesh independently according to clear principles. As a personal aside, my grandfather, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Libes, spent most of the war years in hiding in a forest underground. With nothing but a pencil and paper, he created a calendar based on these calculations, which he had verified according to the Torah before he fled. That calendar and the Mesiras Nefesh it documents still exists within our family, a testament to the strength of Klal Yisrael under fire and the holiness and importance of Hillel's innovation. Now, just as the community in Eretz Yisrael was slowly waning, the center of the bulk of Jewish life had been shifting to Bavel, where the famed Amoraim dwelled, where the Talmud Bavli was compiled as essentially a summary of all of Torah Shabbat Al-Peh. Bavel was also the seat of the famous yeshivos in Sura and Pumbedisa, and these yeshivos were authoritative to Klal Yisrael at the time. The leaders of these yeshivos, the Amoraim and later the Gaonim, were the decisors of all questions that were sent to them from anywhere that Jews lived. For hundreds of years, the Gaonim used that same calendar that Hillel established, and now their fixing of the Rosh Chodesh dates were the ones that were sent out to all of Klal Yisrael. And all of this worked out quite well, proceeding apace until the year Taf Resh Pei Aleph, or 920. At that time, the Babylonian leadership faced a dire predicament. The two major Torah centers were each at a crossroads. For lack of a suitable candidate, Sura had not appointed a Gaon for some time, and Pumbedis, on the other hand, was in a severe dispute over its leadership. The Resh Galusa, the exilarch at the time, David ben Zakkai, sided with one candidate, and the majority of the Chachamim of the yeshiva sided with another candidate. In Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Aharon ben Meir helmed the community, and he was renowned for his Torah knowledge and his staunch activism against the Karaim. He was also Rosh Hashiva of Gaon Yaakov, and as such, he visited Bavel often, where he was greatly respected. And so when it came time for him to weigh in on this leadership conundrum, for his part, he supported the Chachamim in Pumbedisa, who opposed the Resh Galusa. And then, in the year 920, word gets out that Rabbi Aharon ben Meir wants to take upon himself the authority to rule on when Rosh Chodesh should be and on the Jewish calendar. And he announces that the following year, Taf Resh Pei Beis, will be a leap year, but that the months of Cheshvan and Kislev will be chaserim, will be lacking, 29 days each. But in Bavel, the calendar that was announced included a full leap year, with Cheshvan and Kislev as complete months, with 30 days in each of them. Rabbi Aharon ben Meir claimed that he had a precise and accurate tradition that Chachmei Bavel were not privy to, and that even if he didn't have this tradition, in case of a difference of opinion such as this, it was incumbent upon Chachamim to return to this early and revered source of tradition, those that held the authority to be Mekadesh Chadashim, namely that of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Aharon was confident, eloquent, and persuasive in this argument, and it seemed as if he might in fact prevail. But let's step back for a moment and understand what's at stake here. According to the Bavli calculation, there were two more days in winter. Pesach, the first Yantav to be celebrated once this discussion arose after Sukkot, would fall out on a Tuesday. But according to this new way of thinking, it would take place 2 days earlier on a Sunday. For the first time since Churban Bayis Rishon, we have a clash between two Jewish communities, and the danger is immense that Klal Yisrael will split into two factions, each keeping Yantav at a different time. When one group will be sitting down to the Seder, the other will be eating chametz. When one is already finished their Yantav days and are eating chametz once again, the second group will still be eating only matzah. And for the future, Shavuos will be celebrated on different days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and slowly the nation would become two nations. In the summer of 920, Rabbi Aharon ben Meir announced his new calendar that contradicted the Bavli one, and uproar ensued within the ranks of the Jews on either side of the divide. But since, as we mentioned, Bavel was experiencing its own crisis of leadership at the time, there was no one person who could stand up in the face of this threat on the Bavli side. There was no one personality who could contend with Rabbi Aharon ben Meir and stem the breach before it was too late. So Rabbi Aharon worked to garner supporters within Bavel, reminding them of their connection forged over the years. He sent the leaders of Pumbedisa poetic letters recalling their shared past. And here is an excerpt from one of those initial letters. Shalom ma'anif at shemei meromim, umatzliel ad yitzuk hadomim, sovev umakif sviv eretz v'yamim, afud chen, atuf rachamim, ממתיק טעם, כמו לרח כסוכים, כאיסן בא בימים, כאהוב הנעקד לרצון תמים, וכחקוק מכיסא מרומם, וככלכל הפוסר חזיונוס וחלומים, וכטוב שניסן בשיא האגמים, וכמלאך משרס לפני אדון הלומים, וכגער לחרס וסהר מרומם, וכירובעל שניסה בגזה שני פעמים, וכשמצה ושסה מימי לחי בסימים, וכגלעדי ששפט עם וביסו התמימים, etc., etc. This poetic and illusory language recalls famous figures from Tanakh, and it is written in a very flowery style that is almost like piyut, to lend honor to the addressees and to introduce this very important subject within the context of Torah luminaries. Then he gets into the crux of the problem itself, identifying the name of the Resh Galusa as part of the opposition. Asher gemasunu v'asisa mimanu neged hakira'im. V'hayu chamudai v'chol hasanadrin shelanu b'tseisam alkom k'mos ha-modiyim rov ahavasenu lachem. Ki me'olam lo haysa ahava ben chachmei Eretz Yisrael v'chachmei Bavel k'mo zeh hadar. Yihi ratzon she'asmida rachum. Uve'elu hayamim higiu eleinu kol ha'igros asher kasvam Daud ben Zakkai. Haynu hayadu atzlechem b'ma'asav ha-tovim v'drachav ha-timim hu v'banav v'kohen. V'hamischaber lehem se'id ben Yosef al-Dalatzi. Asher hu domelahem, vehem domim lo. Uve'es asher hisponanu be'igros yadanu rov chachmasam, אשר אתם יודעים בכבודכם, כי פירוש א' אינם מכירים. קל וחומר מכניס עם עצמם, כמה שלא הנחילם חי עולמים, ולא הרשם להזכיר בפה, כי אתם יודעים שהנביאים הראשונים והחכמים נמנעו מלעבר בחוץ על הארץ. Here, Rabbi Aaron identifies the threat to his announcement and his resistance to it, stating that Bavel never had the right to decide when Rosh Chodesh would take place. And on Hoshana Rabbah, Rabbi Aaron ben Meir realizes this plan. Surrounded by a group of the Jews of Eretz Yisrael all together on Har HaZeisim, he announces that his new calendar will be put into effect. Chag HaPesach will take place on Sunday, and he passes this information on to his supporters and friends in Bavel. At the same time, there was a young Talmud Chacham in Syria who was originally from Egypt, a giant in Torah, well-versed in all of the branches of Yiddishkeit and science, diktuk, poetry, and philosophy as well. He immediately grasped the gravity of the situation and its urgency, and without hesitation, he took the matter into his own hands. He was called Rabbi Saadia, and he was an outlier because he was young and had no official rabbinical capacity from which to operate. He didn't represent as a member of the faculty of any of the yeshivos in Bavel. He wasn't even from Bavel at all. Still, right when the controversy arose in the summer of Tafresh Pei Aleph, he sent letters to Rabbi Aaron ben Meir and tried to convince him to recant his views. Later, when Rabbi Aaron categorically refused to back down, the tone and timbre of the letters exchanged between them became very heated. Seeing no possibility for resolution between them, each turned in letters to the greater public to try to appeal for their views. Here, Rabbi Saadia describes the situation. וישלח את בנו בחודש הרביעי לשנת 233, ויבוא ירושלים, ויעבר כל ביום הקריאה, לאמר מפורש ביד גבה וחכמיו, אוס לבריס, מרחג' ונקסלב חסירים. והנה כל ישראל בכל ארצות לא כן חישבו. ויהי כאשר שמה נשיאנו וראשי ישיבוס האלופים וכל הברורים וכל מייבן, עם תלמיד, היושבים בבבל, אסרה הזאת אשר עשה והחרדו חרדה גדולה. ויחד להם, כי לא היסכן ולא נרעשה מיום עלוס בני ישראל מארץ מצרים, למידי היוסם באדמוס הקודש, ואחרי פוצם לא נשתנו זמניהם. ויבעצו החכמים, לכתוב אגרוס ונשלח ספרים אליו, הלא להודיעו אס דרך החוק, כי אמרו, אולי משכהו, ויעשום, וישלחו אליו ספרים שניים ולא אבא לשמוע, ויוסיפו עוד, וישלחו ספרים שלישס ולא אבא לשמוע, ובכל זאת הישב ישיבם נמרצוס, על כן הצמיס איתו כזולס חטסו, הלכתו שובה ומשובס נצח, החזיק בתרמיסו וימאין לשוב. אך על יסר העם שלחו אגרוס להזהירם למען לא יישאו בדברי הממאיר. For a moment, it seemed that indeed the nation would be divided forever after. In Tafresh Pei Beis, two different Pesachs were kept in Klal Yisrael, Jews in Eretz Yisrael 2 days earlier than the Jews in Bavel. Could such a rupture ever be repaired? The answer is yes. In time, Rav Saadia Gaon's opinion was accepted everywhere, and the dispute left nary a ripple in the historical memory of our people. If not for the Cairo Geniza, which preserved these letters, unpacked only in the late 19th century, we wouldn't know about it at all. And as for Rabbi Saadia, he was invited to Bavel to accept the title of Gaonus, and he became the Rosh Yeshiva of Sura. It was the first time in history that the Gaon was appointed from outside the Bavli tradition. In the subsequent years, and for all generations, Rabbi Saadia was recognized as one of the greatest leaders of all time. As an added bonus, while researching the initial letter of Rabbi Aaron ben Meir, I came across a letter that Sasha Stern alluded to as similar in poetic style. This text is written by a woman named Malicha to her brothers in Egypt. From her faraway perch in Byzantium, she tells her brothers how much she misses them and begs them to live up to the custom of their time and place and bring her home. She wanted to try to return on her own, she says, but looked into the Sefer Torah and saw that her mazel was bad and that she wouldn't be successful. Shalom mimeromim uvrechos ka'asvei hadumim, uchitipei meromim uchidigei tehomim, ve'oz v'sa'atzumim v'chein v'chesed v'rachamim v'orech yamim, ke'ev hamon ba'biyamim, uchinekad bahar meromim, uchiyakov ishtamim, uchichalom chalomim, uchimazedam sheva pe'amim, וכלל הברכות יעשיו ויחולו ויואגדו ויורכבו בראשי אחי שלמה ואבו סעיד, אחים נעימים, געגועים מיני מליחה אחוסכם, וביתי הקטנה הנקריס זוהי. המשתחווה לכם לחיים אנחנו, ובטחוני לצור ישענו שגם אתם לססון בלי אסון, ולאלצון בלי לחצון, ולשמחה ורווחה בלי אגון, ואנחה. אם כתבתי לכם בטוב, אנא ענני בטוב, כי בשעה שאזכר לכם נפשי הומה בליבי, ומעדו קרסו לי ורחמו ורחפו עצמוסי, ונמאס כוחי כי נפרדתי מכם היום כמה שנים, והרבה אנוכי מסווה לרוס קלסתר פניכם, ורצתי כמרוץ הסערי וטסתי, ואמרתי מי ייתן לי עבר כיונה, כיונה ועופה והשתת ועם אחי, גם אדוננו הרביעי, ולא יכולתי כי לא עמדה לי השעה, ועכשיו עם אלו תיקנתי עצמי לבוא, וראיסי בספר תורה ויצא מזלי רע, שאיני נצלחס, ולא יכולתי לבוא עמהם. הלא תראה אנשי קהילוס רומניה, כי אם ישבו מהם, ילכו קרוביהם להשיבם. ואתם, למה לא ישם אחד נפשו בכפו, לבוא אצלי ויקחני, שאיני מנחס עצמי להכניס עם אחר, כי אם יבוא אצלכם מעצמי. So there we have it, the Geniza bringing whole swaths of Jewish history, among them the voices of Jewish daughters, back to us once again.